Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to help you awaken your spirit. If you want to learn how to open the door to your divine self, you are in the right place.
Hello, Deanna, or whoever, whatever energy is connecting with Deanna today. Can you let us know who you are, where you're from, a name?
I heard yes, we are three. We are equipped to, disseminate information that is helpful. Fully equipped, I heard.
Is there a name that we can call you?
Yes, it is. I heard it is Ihera. It is also, Artemis. And hold on, who's the last person? Let me ask again. I got Hera, Artemis, and Athena. Athena is approaching is what I just heard. Interesting. Okay. That's who's okay.
Cool. I'll go ahead and ask a first question. I guess being that the three of you came, can you explain the purpose that you presented all three of you to us today?
Are you asking why they came?
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay. I heard she called upon us thoroughly to help, to seek answers for yourself. Why can you ask why Artemis came? Because I didn't call upon her, but I'm glad she's here. I was just
kidding. Yeah. So why did Artemis come?
She came to help. She came to help, I heard, help you see the way, to bring light and truth to the cause or the situation at hand.
Ooh, okay.
And I heard she's a helpful being and graceful.
Sounds like there's going to be some drama. Okay, cool. Well, I do have some questions that I want to ask, so I'm going to just go ahead and get started then.
Okay.
All right. So I guess I'm going to actually just go with a big one here. And so I guess I'm going to just ask it. So can you explain to us in whatever ways you can, what the meaning of life is?
Okay. I heard we will fully answer this question to the best of our ability. Oh, this is interesting. I heard the meaning of life is about change with the internal self, even change of mind and change of frequency. All beings came here to, I heard, help each other, lift each other up, but deep internal change is truly the reason why all beings came. They came to learn about themselves, to grow, to expand their awareness and consciousness. And you do this sometimes through heaviness, through quarrel, through change of thought, and by seeking the light within. It's a process for sure. For many people struggle with this daily. Changing the self is a hard thing. I think I heard that. It is difficult for many because they adhere to their ways, or they become accustomed to being a certain self. And we realize this, but the meaning of life is all about change. It is change of the self or evolution. It's an evolutionary process. And that is, again, I'm hearing, that's why all beings came, including yourself. All that have been here before you've even come have been here so that they could evolve their internal selves and evolve their way of thinking and their habits that they've formed. But that is why we say the meaning of life is about change. It is growth and expansion.
Is that something that can actually be accomplished in a single lifetime?
I heard many struggle with this issue. Many beings, okay, I'm just going to hear what I heard. Many beings like yourself do not, or they struggle with large scale change, impactful change at times. In terms of it being fully realized in a singular lifetime, small parts of us change. But for a full large scale change, that usually takes many lifetimes for that to happen.
Okay, so then do we come into this, into like our human form? Like, for example, did I come into my human form to grow? Like, do I have a plan of how far or how much growth I'm supposed to have in relation to just this life versus, or from this life in relation to like my soul life or my soul's plan?
I heard you had many ideas before you came. Some of these have yet to be fully realized. Some of them you struggle against. But you had many things in your life that you decided to do that would bring about said change for yourself.
Okay.
Did that answer the question? Sorry.
I think so. So then, well, kind of not. So then, so for example, I guess my question was like, since it is a bigger thing, like this life, like, granted, however long it is, but do I have a plan that was set in place before I was born of a certain level of growth that I was like supposed to achieve in order to, you know, grow in the broader spectrum of my soul's plan or whatever spiritual growth that I'm supposed to do at a soul level. Does that make sense?
Yes. First I heard, we all have this in mind. Every single last one of us decided henceforth, where the opportunities were, and how we could see ourselves change and evolve. But there are always unexpected things that manifest outside of how it was initially designed. You had ideas of what it is you just you wanted to change, of how you wanted to grow, she said. Certain things established or outlined prior to, as to whether or not you would evolve in every last thing identified. That is a challenge. Many of you have decided henceforth, prior to living there, a large number of issues you would like to solve. However, it is challenging within itself to solve many of these. Therefore, in your life, you target the habits that really need changing, the goals that you can really overcome, and those become priority. You do as many as you can within the limited time.
That's okay. That makes sense. So it sounds like we come in with this whole big, giant, exciting list of things to do. But then once we actually experience it, we're like, oh, that's a little bit too much. Let me scale this down.
She said precisely. Hera okay. said precisely.
That makes total sense for me. okay. So then I feel like this question maybe kind of relates to this, to the first one, but essentially like, I guess, why are we here? Why are we here as humans? Why are we here, you know, in physical form to learn the lessons and things that we're just discussing?
I heard again, like you said, we're here to evolve the self, to increase our knowledge as well. Your learning comes from great experience in a physical light. Being in the body presents its own set of challenges. It is a form that is equipped to help you learn. Therefore, you come here frequently with the knowledge that you will increase yourself each time, whether the experience is a negative one or what you would consider to be positive. Each one presents its own set of challenges, but they bear fruit. Does that make sense? Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it makes sense. So anything we go through, it's like whether a good thing or a bad thing, there's, you know, a consequence that results in another consequence, whether good or bad. So that totally makes sense. Okay. All right, another question. This one's a good one. It's one of my favorites. What is God?
Oh, I'm gonna drink. Lord. Okay, let me see. I don't know, I'm nervous. I heard it is all things. It is everything realized and all things yet to be realized. It is all of creation. It is, I heard it's the strength of force. It is a harmony within you. It is all knowing, all knowledge, all expansion. It is everlasting consciousness. And I heard, does that explain it? Oh my God, that's hard.
Yes and no. So
I know.
So it's I mean, which I kind of have my own interpretations of it as well. But so God is, it's an energy of sorts. Are there multiple gods? Are there different levels of gods? Are there gods who look over the gods?
I heard we are speaking of everlasting life, the frequency of existence. The harmonic frequency is what I heard. It is purely, okay, I'm just gonna say what I heard, and I don't even know if I understand. I heard it is purely sound. I don't know what that means, but I keep hearing that, so I'm just gonna say it. It's purely sound. It is a conscious frequency within the heart, is what they're saying. It is everlasting life. That's what I'm getting.
Okay, we'll
ask your questions. Keep asking.
I was like, I'm not sure if I'm fully satisfied with that answer. Okay, so it's everlasting life. So then, is God the way, you know, we're taught currently to view God, I guess the God source, I guess I want to say, is that different from the type of energy that you are, because you're considered like a goddess?
Yes, indeed. It is the breath of life. It is what gives us creation. We are formed into life by the all-seeing eye of God, by the energy of creation itself. All things manifest from this knowledge. Therefore, we are, and she puts, I feel like it's air quotes, lesser deities in our own right, but there is the consciousness that exists within each and every last one of us, and we are manifestations of that consciousness. It is the source. Again, she's saying it is the wellspring of life. Those are her words, the wellspring of life. It is the harmonic frequency. I keep hearing that those words. It is all things.
Okay, that, I don't know why I'm remembering something about sound frequencies as well.
And she asked you, do you understand? So if you have more questions, please.
What you're saying is that it's, so God or the God source, or I guess maybe even our existence in general, is a form of consciousness.
And she said all things are that.
So like the table or the laptop that I'm on is a form of consciousness.
It is a manifestation of said frequency. It is a lower vibration. Therefore, its calculation is lesser in degree. That's what I heard. Oh my God.
So then, I don't know, this is the rant randomly just popped in my head. So then with this knowledge that everything is frequency, or consciousness, how can someone, not saying me specifically, but how can one utilize that knowledge to manifest things into their existence for themselves?
Hmm. She said, are you meaning to manifest different forms of abundance?
Yes. Like someone wants to manifest additional money, a job, romance, you know, child, whatever it is, car. How could they use that knowledge to help them in the physical form?
Okay. She said, first, a realization needs to take place that all things manifest from the source, from the creative mind. If you were to understand that first thing, it would help you to connect the dots moving forward, meaning all creation comes from thought, and all thought comes from, and she's putting quotes, but from God, right? Therefore, once that connection is made, you will realize that if you two were made in the image of the divine mind, you possess the same energy to create at a lesser scale what it is that is in your heart. It is creation to a lesser degree for a manifestation to appear. Therefore, the source of creation is what? In your mind, just as it is in the conscious mind. Or sorry, not the conscious mind. She's showing me. It's, if I could draw it, I would draw it for you. She's saying in the mind of the divine mind of all that is
what she's saying. Like the collective mind.
The process is thereby the same. It is energy plus force and the will to create that matters. It is the same process that we utilize to create abundance through a very specific harmonic frequency. That is too how we create from ourselves. It is an extension of the selves and a frequency of the heart. Therefore, if you desire to create that which is within, an idea that you have, you must first create from the source itself, from the mind, from the imaginative space, and proceed from there. For what happens after you imagine something? What would be, she says, the logical next steps?
Take action.
She said, it is more powerful if you take the time to either write it out or draw it out, she said.
Okay.
Seeing it in some form or fashion is the most helpful for humans to visualize the output. Therefore, expend your time and energy doing thus, creating within the mind itself first, drawing or writing out what you are possessing within the mind or soul, and then expend your energy outwards, focusing on creating what is there, what you are led to do. The process may change for each individual mind, but the knowledge is there. You will be shown what steps to take to create. She said, is that helpful?
I think so. I think so. That was a lot. Okay. I have to process and let that marinate. But I made a note. So then, because you had mentioned energy plus force. So is energy your mind visualizing it, force drawing it out, and then the heart, using your heart, is like the desire to manifest it?
She said, yes, in a way. She said an abundance of energy is required to make something manifest. And it requires, yes, the will of self, the mind of creation, and the love in the heart. And thus, with those three things combined, it shall be realized. Does that make sense?
I think so. And I'm asking this because I did something about 2 weeks ago to manifest, and I just visualized it in my head, and like it happened. Totally forgot about it afterwards, and it happened like a couple days ago. I won't say what it is, but so I'm just wondering, because I'm like, this manifestation stuff seemed to come to fruition for me a little bit or quicker and easier than it used to. So is that a thing too, as people, you know, grow and change, that they're able to manifest things at different speeds, you know, at different points in their life? Or am I just going crazy?
Some are willful manifestors. Some have a great skill set to manifest great details very quickly. Others, they struggle against it. They try to force or enact more force than is required, which builds resistance. Therefore, it takes time for most people to develop the skill. It depends. She said, it depends.
Am I one of those, what'd you say, willful manifestors? Or does it depend on the topic?
She said, you can see details in your mind.
Yes.
And those are helpful for you. If you focus heavily on those details, then the greater the impact will be.
Oh.
That is very cool.
Oh, okay.
I want to know, can I manifest well? Because I feel like I can't.
What about Deanna? Let's talk about her.
Oh, God. I heard her will is great, but she struggles against willful manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
She has desires. Yeah, she has desires deep within to create certain things, but sometimes she struggles against them. Therefore, the desire is nil. Yeah, that's what I heard.
How can we shift that for her?
I heard frequency change. If she remains on the same frequency of love, then and desire, her ability to change or course correct will be great. If she can manage her frequency well in a steady manner, then it would be easier for her to manifest that which she desires.
How can we get her on the frequency of love? Does she need to get a cat, a hamster, tarantula pet?
What?
I know you're closing your ears off.
No. It says for her, it is, it depends on her willpower. There are certain things in her mind that she has. Okay. I'm just going to say what I heard. This is interesting. There's certain things in her mind that she has kept neat. I don't know what this means, that she has kept neat and that are easy for her to manifest. Can you ask the examples? Cause I don't know what those would be.
Something kept neat. What does that mean to have things kept neat? What does she have kept neat?
She is clear about certain details that she can, that she has the power to change. I heard,
for example,
feels compelled to create certain things, thus she can.
I understand.
But, if there is nary a doubt, then, I cannot hear the rest. I don't know.
Something mm-hmm. about a doubt. I'm sure. Yeah. Mm. I know what she's saying.
Okay.
We can chat about that offline. Okay. That was only like three questions. Then I added a bunch of extras. Are you still okay to continue?
Yeah. That's fine.
Okay. I'll go on to the next question, but this is so far really good. These are like getting better and better. Okay. The next question, I think this one's a really good one. So, our earthly experience, or, you know, everything here on earth that's occurring, is that actually like a hologram, or is it like a holographic experience? Can you tell us about that?
She said, is it real or is it fake? Is it make believe or is it in the mind itself?
That's a poem right there.
Yes. It is real enough. She said, when you have pain indeed, it is not a hologram, is it?
Okay.
When you are suffering, is it a hologram? When you are sad and grieving, is it real enough for you to experience it? For that is But that is the reasoning behind your physical embodiment. Whether or not it is real, it is tough. She said it is tough to say because it exists in the mind. Therefore, you must ask yourself this question, is it legitimately real or is this all make-believe? What do you think is happening here?
I feel like it's real to an extent, because the way I see things, I follow that thought process of, like, you know, we're the main character of our own story and everybody else is just the, you know, it is an extra type of thing. But at the same time, I feel like it's real.
She said, to many it is. To many, this is an incarnation that is very real, real in the heart. But for others, it is simply an experience of the mind.
I feel like that's something I could agree with that sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, I'm just going through life and not making stupid choices, I guess, and it's going well. Which I, you know, that's not for everyone, but yeah.
She said for some, they see it as a holographic reality. They understand that it is thus simply an experience of being. Therefore, in their mind, it is a reality, but one that shifts at will. That's interesting.
Does that mean that they're like shifting between different realities, or is it like they're in one reality or something like that, and their mind just, you know, viewing it that way?
They experience what it is they wish to achieve at any given time. They may shift into an experience of doubt, an experience of promise, an experience of light, an experience of sadness. All of us do this on some occasion or other. We shift into different realities of experience, whether those are considered positive or negative. We are all shifting through each of these concurrent realities.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense.
That makes a lot of sense. Okay.
Okay, ladies.
Yeah, that's good. All right. So then I think that kind of answers possibly the next question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So, like, does that also mean that the planet, because the question was, are the planets holograms as well, or are they, you know, not? Are they real? But is that also part of our own interpretation?
I heard they are part of this dimension, to be specific.
Okay. We can go on to
dimension. They are what the eyes see. It's interesting. I heard that. They are what the eyes see.
Okay. So then will we travel to all these planets at some point?
They are not equipped for you to inhabit.
Okay. Will we travel to any planet, human race, at some point?
Maybe. She said you could in the future for a visitation. But not for a really long time.
not in my lifetime, right?
She did say you guys decided to pretty much stay put here.
Well, maybe the next incarnation I'll go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, perfect. So I'm going to go on to another one. So this other question I have is why, in regards to spirits. So why do spirits need to experience duality? What's the benefit of that?
It's interesting because she goes, ooh, the darkness of light. That's pretty cool.
Okay, that makes sense.
That is neat.
So what is the benefit? Like why and what's the benefit?
It brings you lessons and it teaches you your true nature. You see reflections of the selves when you decide to incarnate. You project the self outward to experience a real life into a physical form that brings you lightness and dark times. These are for the benefit of the spirit, so that it may realize truth for itself independently of the knowledge of all that is. You must experience darkness itself to understand the light. Is that not the way for all things to be? For how would you know one without the other? Therefore, without lack, you would not appreciate or understand abundance. And without darkness, you would not appreciate the light. Therefore, all things manifest for the entirety of your benefit, so that you may expand your mind and grow in consciousness. That only happens when you embody both phases of the light.
Okay, no, I like that. That's a good one. I don't know why I was thinking this, but is there like, and this is a really ridiculous question, I feel, but you know how there's like, you know, light, dark. Is there a third sphere to this or a third aspect to it?
I heard the middle passage. That's interesting.
Oh, okay. What is the middle passage?
I know. I like that. She said, it is the in-between state of being. It is more of a passive state where one is indecisive. One thinks not of the way of being a full form manifestation of light or that of all darkness, but of being equipped of both parts of the whole, experiencing the middle way, part light, part darkness, not willing to be subservient to one or the other, to the light or only the darkness, but to experience both desires within the self. It is what we call the middle way of being. To experience both, to know each other. Is that not the truth?
Yeah, that sounds like my existence.
And she said yes frequently.
So is this Jesus? I just processed that more. So are humans living in the, what did you say, the middle way? Are they living in that, I guess?
She said some are in that in-between state. Others, you know, they fluctuate in and out. Some feel they are only light without the darkness. Others feel they are in a frightening state of mind where no light can reach. Others are in between that, and they fluctuate between the light and feeling the darkness at times. This is common to most beings, to be in a state of fluctuation, which is a normal state.
Yeah, I was about to say, it sounds like that's probably the better state for growth.
Mm-hmm. And I think so too.
That's freaking awesome.
Mm-hmm. I like that. It's like, I don't know. See it. It's weird.
Something just told me, ask the question. And I was like, I've never thought about that.
Me neither. I love it. That's really neat.
Okay. That's like a whole topic in itself. Okay, cool. Yeah. I could go into more, but I'm going to go on to another question that maybe kind of relates, since some people might think, you know, more in the fear states, and others, you know, some people like me kind of can be at that state, but I try not to. But anyway, my question is, so how can we overcome negative thinking, especially when we're undergoing like a terrible challenge?
She's saying, or they are saying, I'm sorry. This is the question many people have. Many people are suffering under the pressure and the weight of a negative mindset. They operate this way daily. They think of the worst case scenarios of what could happen to them. They suffer overthinking and overanalysis about their lives, about what could go wrong, about deception, harm, about the weight of things that they carry. This is unfortunate thinking, but the common way for most beings. They posit negativity as opposed to the light. They need to shift their thought patterns. She said, this is a redundant thing, as we say often, but the thought is the start of all things. The thought is the start of your actions. The thought is the start of your behaviors and how you respond. First, change your thinking, change your patterns, get to the root of the why. What brought you to this thought? Why would you rather harm the self than help the self, even in your own thinking? Why do you keep this willful pattern against yourself? Why put yourself in this heavy position first? This is what we advise many of you beings to do. Often, ask the question of why? Why would I rather harm myself than help myself? Why would I carry the heaviness than remove the load? Many of you suffer under the weight of a negative mindset. This impacts your very day. It impacts whether how you help someone, if you have the desire to help. It impacts the way you speak to one another, even to your own self. The negative thoughts are self-harmful. You must shift your thought patterns to experience a better life, even during dire times, even when there is loss at place, even when you are struggling in the most ill-full manner, you must still focus on the light as opposed to the darkness. We realize that this is a difficult thing to say, given the disadvantages many of you are undergoing at this time, but we tell you not to struggle against these things. Do not struggle against the loss. Do not fight what is negatively impacting you. Accept it with ease, knowing that there is always another side to things. There's always an advantage to the disadvantage. There's always an up to the down, is there not?
There is.
Therefore, we say, to get to the root, you know, change your thought patterns. Do not allow what is happening to deceive you. I don't know if I picked that up right. Sometimes what we see is a self-deception. Even if things are hard, these don't last forever, or they bear new fruit. Therefore, focus on what will be the relief. Focus on the brighter side, shift your thought patterns, thus that will help you to change your behavior and to manifest better things in a more, I don't know, I thought I heard the word frequent, but I guess more quickly, something to that effect. Does that any of that make sense?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
There's a lot, but I mean, that totally makes sense. I kind of been experiencing some of that lately too, and it really does affect you by just shifting your thoughts. And even it, and so does the phrase fake it till you make it also apply to this concept?
It can help, unless it instills fear within you, unless it brings anxiety, unless it instills self-doubt. Otherwise, it could be helpful.
Okay, yeah, because that's what I was thinking of. Okay, cool. And I guess in relation to that, like, so how would one, I guess, overcome, I mean, maybe it's kind of related. How would one overcome, like, the feeling of being alone?
Many of you feel like you've been abandoned, like you have been left aside or tossed by the wayside. There we go. As if there is no one there to accompany you on your willful journey. This is not reality. you have accepted this program, this situation, this humanity, this human experience to be a human, to be a self, individualized, to be part of this species with a particular mindset that brings certain patterns in place. Some of those patterns are feeling lost, feeling sad, feeling, I heard the word temptation, and feeling a great amount of loneliness. This is a part of the experience. And she said to be brave throughout this experience, but this is not true reality. In reality, not any, there isn't one individual who is left here alone, even though you have been taught this way. You see not with your own mind's eye the arrival of many spirits that are party to your position, your growth, to your experience. They are all witnesses to what is taking place. What appears to be abject loneliness is not that at all. There are many abundant species here who have decided to accompany you on your journey to this planet. Therefore, we tell you now, there are many here who wish to help you, many who accompany you, many of you, many who are aware of your presence, but you see it not, therefore you believe it not. And this is a struggle many of you have. If you could just believe, then you could see who is party to your experience.
Okay, that was pretty good. So then, I mean, first off, if you can, like, you know, help me to see those beings, those species, I'm totally fine with that. But second, so are you saying that, like, some people come here specifically with the purpose of going through the experience of feeling alone or feeling the anxiety or feeling depression? Like, are those goals that people have as they incarnate?
They are all part of the experience that you have. And they are all part of the mind too, she said.
Wait, part of the mind? What, how do you mean by that? Or can you explain that?
It's part of your thinking patterns.
Okay.
Some of you have asked to have more of an independent life, to be a nomad nonetheless. Therefore, your experience will be more independent. Some of you have asked to arrive with a bandwagon of people in your life. Therefore, you incarnate into much larger families who accompany you, and that will be your experience. Every individual life is different. How you see the world, how you experience things, your mindset. All of these are particular to your set of experiences here. But some of you wish to be more independent than others. Therefore, you have more of what you could call a lonely experience. But you are never alone, just in your own mind.
Again, I would be glad if they can help me to see. okay, no, that makes sense. That totally makes sense. Okay. Are you okay to continue?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I have another question, I guess, actually kind of relates to what I've just making my jokes about. So as, I guess, people who can channel, or if someone is a channeler, are they able to channel any spirit that they want?
This is a good question. I heard channeling is a finicky thing. Many spirits arrive to help you achieve this strength or this source of communication. There is such a thing as channeling, where the spirit enters the body and takes over all forms of communication. Whether that's with your hands or with your mouth. Others like yourself, I'm asking Erin or me, she said, Deanna, it is in their mind where their frequency picks up a certain set of channels of which they can, which she can tap into. Some of these are nil. Some of these are incredibly strong, and therefore she may channel them through her own mind. That is what she is doing with ourselves today. In terms of her capabilities of channeling all things, there are limits on this. Not all beings can channel every last living thing. Some can, but most are incapable.
So then, because do I channel or do I connect in a different way? Because I've connected to different energies and I still get information.
She said your ability is great and that you are, this is hilarious. You're a very talented sorcerer.
Sorcerer? What?
That's hilarious. What? That is so funny.
So that means I'm a sorcerer, not a channeler?
Hold on, let me get back.
What does that mean? Can you explain that for me?
She says you have an ability that is great, innate ability, by the way. It's an innate ability to tap into a certain level of frequencies. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
And she said, and she wants me to tell you, even your own guide, you can tap into your guide. That's what she said.
That SOB don't listen to me.
Oh my God.
Maybe I'll give that an attempt. So I can connect.
Wait. She said there are levels to this.
Ooh, what level am I at?
And there are different harmonic frequencies of which you can tap into. Source frequencies is what she's calling them. Source frequencies of which you can tap into. It was decided by you long ago. That's interesting. I don't know. That's what I hear.
So I'm not channeling. I'm tapping into these energy frequencies. Is that different from channeling? Do you connect into frequencies when you channel?
She's saying there are different types of channeling. Some are able to embody a frequency completely of which, in which they speak what is being spoken through them. Others, they are fully embodied. Does that make sense? Where the energy is present within the self, the physical self.
Okay.
Yours is a different pattern. You have the ability to tap in to levels of frequencies. And I heard the word species too, by the way, levels of frequencies of which yourself can access. These range from low levels to the highest of the high is what I just heard.
Sorry, I'm like, okay, I'm processing this. So then, I mean, that kind of makes sense because sometimes, and is that why sometimes I feel like with certain times I'm channeling, I can go for an hour and then other times I can go, you know, for just like 15 minutes and I'm just like, I feel tired.
She said, yes, energy wise, you have a great skill, but it takes time and energy to process the frequency that is being embodied.
Nobody's ever told me it this way.
Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because she's showing me the levels. Like it's so strange, but yes, there are levels of which you can access.
I thought you were saying like, I was like at a certain level, like, you know, level 5, but okay.
I think that's very cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Okay, I need to look more into this because I mean, the way I connect is the way I connect, but like this kind of gives me a little bit of direction. So then in terms of frequencies, for example, like if I wanted to connect with you, I'm connecting with you at a specific frequency.
You are. She said you are indeed.
And so it's not like I'm channeling you by hearing you or like, well, sometimes I see, or I usually see. So, but it's more of like I'm connecting like an antenna, and that's why like the information just kind of comes. Cause a lot of times I feel like I just, like, I don't always hear it. It's more of like, I just know the words. Am I getting that correct?
She said, you are in fact tapping into a channel of light. And it's weird because I feel like it's, she said light words, which is interesting. But in,
you language.
Know, I know, right? You are tapping into a particular channel from source that directs you accordingly, of which you access, she said. And therefore, you are, the words are seeping through you. I don't know how else to say it. That's what she said. The words are seeping through you, through that channel in particular. And I feel like she's pointing to a channel for me just to show you an example. Like there is a channel that you're accessing and then boom, you're aligned with that channel. And then the words just start filtering through you.
Okay, that's kind of, that's actually a very cool way. I didn't even know that was a thing. And is this something that people commonly do, or I mean, everyone has their own way, I guess, right? But is that, am I unique in that way, or is there many people that do it that way also that are just not aware?
There are unique ways of tapping in. For each and every last one of us, yours is specific to you. She said the same way Deanna's is specific to her.
Okay, so being that we're like talking about frequencies, I actually have never done this, but can we, or can like someone connect with any deceased spirit that has crossed over, or do you have to be like specifically a medium to do that?
A good question too. They are saying, not everyone can do this is what I heard. Not everyone has the privilege to access all spirits of the divine source. Even though many of you would like to think you could, some even pretend to do so. Not all have the divine ability to connect to every last living heart that once graced the planet. So in essence, you may connect to a few beings, but your ability is limited to do so.
Why are they limited? Or certain genes.
She just asked, what would be the need?
Oh, okay. So, like, what if somebody wants to connect with Abraham Lincoln for, I don't know, whatever knowledge they want to obtain? Is that something that they could do, or does it have to have a purpose that pertains to them?
They may connect to the energy of his spirit, his light. If they are perhaps researching his presence or biography, whatever word I just heard, they may connect to his self, his source. But that is different, she said. It is not mediumship in that way. They are not speaking directly to the spirit of Abraham Lincoln. To connect, but you are connecting with the presence of his words, of who he once was.
Cool. Okay. I actually, there's one last question I didn't ask that I should have asked earlier on. But why, this is going back to the God source or the God question, why did God decide to create us, humans?
Oh Lord. I know, I'm like nervous.
I know, I was like, do we need to take a break on this one?
First, she just said, source is the energy of creation itself, and we are the embodiment of, I don't know, I'm just saying the words. We are an embodiment of its fuel. I don't know what that means, but I'm just saying it out loud. She said, source is always in the state of creation, of expanding itself to understand itself.
That's some deep shit. Sorry.
I know. I'm sitting here like,
I'm like trying to understand the first part about we are, what did you say? We are the source of its fuel. So humans are like the gasoline of God, which is like the vehicle. Is that, or is it the opposite way around?
She said, you could say that source is the vehicle if you would like. But again, it is the creative energy of all that is. It creates us. It creates everything. She said, there is no stopping this. It is full-blown expansion. She said, okay, the divine mind wishes to know itself better. Therefore, it expands itself outwards to understand what is within. And we are said expansions. We are part of that knowledge set. And it is through us that it experiences itself on a daily basis, inwardly. She said, does that uphold for you?
So what you're telling me is my identity crisis is because of source.
You're hilarious, identity crisis.
That's literally what I just... Oh my God. If everything we're going through is for source purpose, what the heck? But I get it. I mean, I've heard, not the first time I've heard that, but
she also said it's for knowledge increase. Also for knowledge increase.
So total random on this one. Mm-hmm. So does this mean that at some point the God source, however many millennia away, will cease to exist once it's learned everything, or is
She said she said it will recreate itself.
Oh my gosh. So like it'll literally destroy the universe and then rebuild a new one.
And she said, what universe? I don't know what that means.
But see, we're in a hologram. No.
I know. I was like, don't do this. Don't give us a paradox.
I mean, well, it totally makes sense too. If there's all like if at least in my view, there's always realities, new realities constantly being created. So that totally, if that's the perception I'm getting, makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this is like a huge giant mind cluster, you know what?
I know.
Okay, that's so super cool. Then wow. I feel like there is like other questions I want to ask, but like my brain is just done. Is there any other information considering I think I only had a few questions, but it turned into something like five times as long as I expected to? Is there any other information you would like to add to what we've discussed? To shock us again or even more.
She's saying, okay. I know, you know, she just wants to say, just in addition, you know, love is a special thing and that we really should value it, and value each other here. We are all in this grand experiment called life. Each and every one of us, and we are all of unique value to each other, but also to the divine mind itself, as it is expanding through our very narrative. And she says, you know, our connection to this spirit is also unique, and to not take it to do not take it for granted, and to be mindful. We all have divine light within us, regardless of how things appear on the surface of the planet. But we are all unique to source, even though we are all one emanation, if that's a word, emanation of God. We are still all individually unique. And she said, not to forget that we are all an expansion of the mind, of the divine mind. Of the source mind, and that if you would like a creative thought, seek within yourself, because the mind of God is there.
So
She said, stop seeking outward for truth and ask within the self what is real to tell you the truth of all things.
I'm glad we're not showing our faces on this because the face I'm making is really funny right now. Okay, so then would you say for some people who are having issues, would you suggest they do some sort of like hypnosis or hypnotherapy to connect? Possibly for those who are less in tune to the spiritual metaphysical world like us too.
She said it could be useful. It could be a useful technique for those who struggle to hear themselves or hear the inner voice within. It could be a useful gift for them to gain clarity on themselves and their patterns, and to gain a clarifying thought. But for those of us who can hear, who have the unique talent of speaking to divine minds, as we are doing today, you know, you may seek this way for self-understanding, but we always say the truth is told within. It is unnecessary to seek outwards for understanding and for light, for all light is gathered within the self. All gnosis is there as well, and it is accessible to your very self.
What did you say? All gnosis?
Gnosis, uh-huh.
What is that?
Knowledge.
Oh, I've never heard that word. Mm-hmm. I was like, hypnosis? Okay, that's pretty cool.
It's funny, she said, your guide says you have it in there with you. The gnosis.
Why is she talking to my guide behind my back? She also didn't want to tell me.
She's like, not behind your back. She's just telling you. And it's funny because she's handing you like a torch for you to see it.
Okay. Well, mm-hmm. When I connect to these frequencies of the highest of highest source, I'll ask for that to open up and I can see everything.
And she says you can hear everything too. And she says what your guide says is true.
I'm sorry. I was like,
and she also says, she says he's a useful parent. That's funny.
Well, he needs to stop. I need to have more fun in my life. Okay. I was like, a parent? This is a lot to process. This is a lot of stuff we talked about.
She said he's only for goodwill. Come on.
Well, of course, but you know, I'm sure he's a pain in my butt somehow. He's well aware of, you know, what I think.
She said he's a loving guide. He's a loving guide.
I don't have any other questions. Do you have anything?
I don't think so.
Okay, cool. Well, I guess we'll close out.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah. So thank you very much, Athena, Hera, and Artemis, right?
Mm-hmm. Artemis. For joining us. I did see her pop in when we were talking to her. I was like, oh my God, this is so funny. And I'm grateful too. I'm very grateful that they came. So thank you as well.
Yes, Deanna will put an extra offering for me.
Yes.